Zinni recalled that Wolfowitz was interested in seeing how this nervy mission was being conducted. With Garner, the two met briefly at an airfield built for Saddam Hussein at Sirsenq in far northern Iraq. How was the U.S. military operating? Wolfowitz asked. Well, Zinni explained, this Lieutenant Colonel Abizaid is pushing out the Iraqi forces, and we've got more and more space here inside Iraq for the Kurds, and we've kind of created a security zone or enclave of some 3,600 square miles. I started giving the brief, and he really, really got into it, recalled Zinni. This was capturing him in some way. This was turning some lights on in his head. He was very interested in it. He was very excited about what we were doing there in a way that I didn't quite understand. That meeting in Sirsenq would be one of the few times that Zinni and Wolfowitz would meet. But over the next 14 years, the two men would become the yin and yang of American policy on Iraq, with one working near the top of the U.S. military establishment, while the other would be a sharp critic of the policy the first was implementing. Wolfowitz departed the Pentagon not long after his review of Provide Comfort, when the first Bush administration left office, and returned to academia. Zinni went fairly quickly from being chief of staff in northern Iraq to deputy commander at Central Command, and then to the top job in that headquarters, overseeing U.S. military operations in Iraq and the surrounding region from the Horn of Africa to Central Asia. In his command, his main task was overseeing the containment of Iraq. In that capacity, he would be kind of a groundbreaker for Marine Four stars, showing that a Marine could handle the job of being a SINC, Commander-in-Chief, or Regional Military Commander, an Air Force general recalled. Other Marines had held those top slots, but until Zinni, none had really distinguished himself in handling strategic issues. Wolfowitz, by contrast, spent the 1990s in opposition. His path intertwined briefly with Zinni's in the 2000 presidential election campaign, when both endorsed the Bush-Cheney ticket, though for very different reasons. After a year, Zinni would go into opposition against the Bush administration's drive toward war with Iraq, while Wolfowitz would become one of the architects of that war. They are very different men. Zinni is a Marine's Marine, who still speaks in the accents of working-class Philadelphia, while Wolfowitz is a soft-spoken Ivy League political scientist, the son of an Ivy League mathematician. Yet both men are bright and articulate and utterly sincere. Retired Colonel Gary Anderson, who knew Zinni and the Marines and later consulted with Wolfowitz on Iraq policy, said it was this very similarity between the two men that so divided them. They both believe in their bones what they are saying, he observed. Neither one is in any way disingenuous. Wolfowitz would say that realists, such as Zinni, did not understand that their policies were prodding the Mideast toward terrorism. If you liked 9/11, he would say after that event, just keep up policies such as the containment of Iraq. Zinni, for his part, would come to view Wolfowitz as a dangerous idealist who knew little about Iraq and had spent no real time on the ground there. Zinni would warn that Wolfowitz's advocacy of toppling Saddam Hussein through supporting Iraqi rebels was a dangerous and naive approach whose consequences hadn't been adequately considered. Largely unnoticed by most Americans during the 1990s, these contrasting views amounted to a prototype of the debate that would later occur over the 2003 invasion and occupation of Iraq.